Welcome to this latest edition of the Real Deal Podcast on this 18th of February 2019. I'm your host, Real Gerald Quinn, discussing the world of sports and pop culture. As always, you can follow me on Twitter at William Gerald or go to my Instagram account at Real Gerald Quinn. We're, of course, streaming live here on YouTube. The broadcast also will be available via Block Talk Radio anywhere from, I would say, it'll be available through YouTube anywhere from 20 to 30 minutes after with done broadcasting and on Block Talk Radio. I will try to have this out sometime either early tomorrow morning or late tonight. We'll see what happens. Busy weekend, of course. All-Star Weekend has concluded. Teams will be back in action come Thursday, as we look forward to the second half of the NBA season. All-Star Weekend altogether, I thought, was relatively boring, to be honest with you. The most exciting part about the All-Star Weekend probably was the three-point contest. And I don't know what can be done about All-Star Weekend that could create more excitement, create more interest. The bottom line is, especially with the dunk contest. Number one, I mean, I would put the three-point contest last, because right now, I think the three-point contest clearly, to me, has been the most intriguing and the most exciting in recent years of all the skills competitions, of all the skills competitions that they run out there over the course of the Saturday night. So I would put the three-point contest last. One of the problems with the dunk contest is there are more, you have guys who are more invested in props than actually coming up with creative dunks or dunks that we've never seen before. Like, jumping over a plane, retro jerseys, Superman shirts. I mean, that stuff, no one cares about the props. I mean, this whole idea of showmanship. Showmanship is doing a dunk that I've never seen before. The thing that made Vince Carter, separated Vince Carter from everybody else, he did dunks that we never saw ever prior to that. So these guys have got to be more creative in some of the dunks that they do. That will draw interest, doing dunks that we've never seen before. That will bring back some more interest to the contest. And also, you got to get the best players. Remember back in the day, dunk contests used to have either the best players or guys who were all-star caliber. Look at that 2000 dunk contest. You have Vince Carter, McGrady, Steve Francis. Those guys were either going to be future all-stars or were all-star caliber players already. I mean, I guess the guy that had the least amount of was the worst player out of all those guys. I think Larry Hughes was in that contest, and Larry Hughes was a decent player. But that world does not exist anymore. All the great players, all the top players, the top guys are not participating in the dunk contest. And again, it's hard to get energized by guys who are in the G League. I mean, maybe it's exciting for a 10-year-old, 12-year-old kid who's there, who's, seeing these guys up close and personal. But for a fan watching the game on television, for somebody like me, I just couldn't get into it. I was into the three-point contest. Three-point contest with Curry and Joe Harris is actually fun to watch. But the dunk contest could be on its way out, frankly. It really could be on its way out. That's how bad it's gotten. As far as the game goes, after having a competitive game last year where both teams were into it, it was the first time we had players choosing teams, and yeah, Team LeBron and I forgot who was the captain last year. I think it might have been Curry. Curry was the captain last year, I believe. This year they got back to doing the same thing that got you annoyed about the game, as basically no defense for three quarters and let's try to play hard for the fourth quarter. I was not into that game whatsoever. It had no juice to it. That game was dead. It was as dry could be. Matter of fact, after the first quarter, after the first quarter. This is how out of it I was about the game. After the first quarter, I just turned on True Detective. I said I'd rather watch True Detective, the new episode of True Detective, than watch. And I'll get back to this game. I end up getting back to the game around, I say, the beginning of the third quarter. I was not into the game at all. Again, fourth quarter, you had LeBron's team come back, which, you know, wasn't a shocker. He clearly had a better team with all the shooters and all the players that he had on that team. But again, if they're going to play hard, they're going to have the guys choosing teams. They got to somewhat play hard. I mean, just bring 50% of effort. I'm not asking for 90%, I'm not asking for 100%, I'm not asking for 80%. Just bring 55 to 60% effort to where you can at least pretend like you're trying. I mean, at least pretend. Some of that stuff out there in the first two and a half, three quarters was, you know, it was just like it was a couple years ago when you had scores up getting close to 180, 190, and you had, I mean, Anthony Davis had like 50-some points in a game and what have you. That's what it looked like last night. It was totally, again, it was a game that was hard to get into. Again, these players, I've never seen anybody get hurt in an All-Star game. Even back in the day, in the 90s and late 80s, those guys played way harder. I don't remember anybody getting injured. So I don't know if there's a fear of injury, if these guys are just too friendly with each other. You know, this has been called the quote-unquote AAU generation. I just don't know. It's basically become, a layup line and something that, again, I don't know what the NBA can do. I mean, I think the NBA tried to make a change by allowing the players to vote, allowing the top the highest vote getters and players, you know, down those two to vote and pick their own teams. I think that has some juice. The draft, I watched the players get drafted a couple weeks ago on TNT. I thought that was kind of fun to see who was going to get drafted and who was going to go last. So that had some intrigue in it. You kind of got into that. But that frankly was the most exciting part of the All-Star process was the NBA, was the draft. That was the most exciting part, to be honest with you. That draft was what, last week or a couple weeks ago? I think it was 2 weeks ago. Or maybe it was last week. But whenever it was, that was clearly to me the most exciting part of the All-Star experience, of the All-Star experience, watching it from afar. Now again, going to the All-Star game, I'm sure is a whole nother experience. I've never been to an All-Star game or to All-Star festivities, but I'm sure, you know, if you're on the court, you're watching these guys live and in person, that's a whole different animal. And maybe I would be into it more if I had front court, you know, great seats, not nosebleeds, but great seats on, you know, at the, you know, the experience up close and personal. But again, watching it on television, again, I was not into it at all. I'm not knocking the NBA. I don't know what the NBA cannot make great players participate in the dunk contest. The NBA already went out of its way, you know, with changing the process in terms of fan voting and not giving the fans all the power, allowing the players to pick, you know, to pick other players in the draft, getting rid of the whole East versus West, which was getting ridiculous because the Western Conference was so stacked. So they've done their job from that standpoint. I don't know what more you can ask out of the NBA, what more the NBA can do from that standpoint. But I guess they could create, you know, winner take all for, you know, $5 million or some just outrageous amount of money. I guess that could be something that the NBA does moving forward to create more, to get guys to play a little bit harder. But it, you know, other than that, you know, the game is going to be, it's going to be a showcase. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a layup line. It's going to be guys out there barely trying. And you know, you're basically going to be stuck with that moving forward. So that was all, you know, that's all that I took from the All-Star game and from All-Star Saturday night. Again, the most exciting part of the whole All-Star experience as far as what I was into personally was the draft. As we look ahead towards the second half of the season, you have a couple things, you know, to me, looking forward to. Number one, what is, are the Lakers going to make the playoffs? I'd be very interested to see, how hard LeBron is going to push now that they're not getting Anthony, they're not getting Anthony Davis. This is the team that he's stuck with for the rest of the season. And, is he going to push hard? Is LeBron motivated to be an eighth seed and to get his brains beat in by the Golden State Warriors in the first round? Because that's what they're looking at right now. Now maybe they go on a serious run. They can get a seven seed. Right now, they are 3 games out of the eighth seed and 4 games out of the number seven spot. So maybe, as I look at the standings here. So yeah, 3 games out of the eighth seed, 4 games. Clippers have a 3-game lead on the Lakers. San Antonio has a 4-game, and San Antonio and Utah are both tied for the or in essence in a tie in terms of, but Utah's an edge in terms of winning percentage, but they are 4 games out of the seventh spot, maybe four and a half out of the sixth spot. So it's not like they're completely out of it, but the bottom line is they have a tough schedule in their last 25 to 26 games. They'll be getting some guys back. They'll get Lonzo Ball back, getting Hart, getting him back. So they'll get a couple of their pieces back. But I just look at LeBron. Is LeBron going to be motivated to be possibly to be an eighth or seventh seed? Because in the past, LeBron has said, just get me to the playoffs and I'll do the rest. Well, he's not in the Eastern Conference anymore. So just getting into the playoffs, any seed in the playoffs doesn't, means you can't have that mentality in the Western Conference because you don't want to see any part of Golden State in the first round, period. So it's not just getting to the playoffs, it's where you wind up in the playoffs. I wouldn't have any, of course, you want home court advantage. You want one of the top 4 seeds, but no one outside of Golden State would scare me in the playoffs. So if you're trying to get in the playoffs, if you're the Lakers, you're Sacramento, Clippers, to a lesser extent, Dallas, you don't want any part of. Now, I guess for Dallas, it wouldn't matter because they just want their young players to get their feet wet, especially Luka Doncic, having him showcasing his skill set off in the playoffs. But for the Lakers, you don't want any part of a eighth seed and facing Golden State in the first round. And I'm sure LeBron James would want no part of that, losing to Golden State once again, and especially now losing to them and would be losing to them in the first round of the playoffs. So be very interesting to see how hard he pushes. If you are the best player in the world, which a lot of people still say LeBron is, I'm not one of those people. I told you this for the last year or so that I believe Kevin Durant has taken his spot as the best player in the world. Durant was the All-Star MVP last night. If you are the best player in the world, you should be able to get your team to the playoffs over a team in Sacramento that hasn't been in the playoffs in well over a decade and doesn't know how to, just frankly, as right now, doesn't know how to win. And against a team who really, in the Los Angeles Clippers, really doesn't even want to make the playoffs. The Clippers don't want to make the playoffs. The Clippers want to, they want to keep that, they want to keep that pick. They want to use it as a possible trading asset. And they want to go after big time free agents, Kawhi Leonard and what have you in free agency come this summer. They have no desire to make the playoffs. They have very little desire to make the playoffs. I shouldn't say no desire because you're still going to get at worst minimum 2 home games, and that's certain. That's revenue going towards the organization. So they wouldn't be complaining if they got to the playoffs. But they really not. The Clippers really don't are not going to be. They're not going to go all. They're not going out of their way to try to make the playoffs without question. So you have that going on. The biggest challenger, also something to look forward to, the Eastern Conference. Milwaukee, Toronto seem to be steadfast in those top 2 spots. What happens with Boston and Philly will be fun to watch. Boston was playing a little bit better as we headed into the All-Star break, but something hasn't been right with that team all year long with chemistry. I don't think Stevens has done a great job with that team. I don't want to hear about having too much talent. I don't want to hear, listen, there are 28, about 27, 28 other teams who would love to have too much talent. Okay, there are about at least 20 teams, I should say, 20 to 25 teams who would love to have too much talent. The Sixers, with the moves that they've made, they're clearly going for it this year. And right now, as it stands, the Sixers would actually play the Celtics in the first round. So if you're Philly, if you're Boston, again, both those teams are only a game out of the third spot with the Pacers. You want to be see that third spot is a nice spot. It's a nice spot. It's a great spot to be in. Number one, you would be playing the Brooklyn Nets in the first round, Brooklyn or possibly Charlotte in the first round. And two, your second round is going to be tough regardless. Whoever the Eastern Conference, the second round, you're top. It doesn't matter where you're at. Your second round is going to be a beast regardless. So you're in the third spot. Second round, you would play. If you're in that third spot, you would probably more than likely play Toronto in the second round. Toronto in the second round. And if you're in the 4 or 5 spot, you would play Milwaukee in the second round. So if I'm Philly, if I'm Boston, Philadelphia, I definitely want that third spot to have a nice, easy first round against Brooklyn. I don't see Brooklyn as being a threat in the playoffs in that first round with very little to no playoffs experience. So you much rather play Brooklyn in the first round because you know that second round is going to be the Eastern Conference second round is going to be just a bloodbath. I mean, you can have Milwaukee against Philly or Boston. You can have Toronto against against Indiana. Possibly get to, as it stands, you got Toronto against either Indiana or probably more likely Indiana as if things hang on to if things stay the way they are as currently looking at the standings right now, though I expect that to change. I don't think that again, I know the Pacers have been playing well for the most part since the Oladipo injury and they've been able to hang on, but I don't expect them to be able to hang on much longer as we move forward in the season. But who knows? I mean, the Pacers have really done an excellent job. All those guys have improved. All the young players have improved. So maybe they can hang on to that spot and keep Boston and Philadelphia at bay. But it for Philadelphia and Boston, you would like to think that one of those teams would make a move to get to that number three spot in the Eastern Conference. As far as Anthony Davis goes, I have read some reports today that they are looking to possibly have him shut it down for the rest of the season. And I think that would be the best thing to happen. Now, you want to take the perspective, well, he's getting paid $25 million. He's a franchise player. He should play. He's getting paid to play. You can take that tack. You can take that stance if you want to. The bottom line is, to me, I look at the team. I look at how he's played since the trade deadline has passed. I look at just the black cloud that has been over that hovering over that team with a guy who clearly doesn't want to be there, and with a franchise that does not want to win. To me, this is a unique situation. It is best that they just get away from each other. Like, I didn't understand what to me, I and this shows you how inept their franchise is. Now, again, you can criticize Anthony Davis in terms of how he handled the situation along with Clutch Sports and Rich Paul and to let LeBron James, who we know is connected to Clutch Sports, the Lakers. And we can talk about all that till the cows come home. But the bottom line is, if you're the Pelicans, you know what time it is. You know this guy is not going to be with you past this season. You just trade everybody. Trade Drew Holiday. Trade Julius Randle. Trade everybody. Don't just trade Mirotić, because clearly the team does not want to win. And it was so I don't understand what the Pelicans were doing with hanging on to those players. I just think that they should just got as many draft picks and young players as possible and just move on from the Anthony Davis era. He doesn't want to be there. He's not going to be there. He's going to get moved in the offseason anyway. I'm not knocking him for not trading him, because maybe they felt like they could get a better deal in the summertime, which more likely they probably will be able to from the Celtics, but or some other surprise team that comes out of the blue. But it makes no sense to me to keep that team together if Anthony Davis is going to be if you don't want to win, and that team clearly does not want to win. And from an Anthony Davis perspective, listen, if he's not going to be committed to playing, he shouldn't play. I mean, they should tell him to just go home. Now again, Anthony Davis, you can knock Anthony Davis. If you're getting paid to play, if you're healthy, you go out there, you put up your numbers, and you keep it moving. That would be my, if I'm Anthony Davis, I'm just going up there and putting up my numbers. I'm getting 30 and 14, 30 and 13, 29 and 13 every night, and I'm going to keep it moving. So it just goes to show you how checked out. You know, he had a game where he had 3 points. He had a game where he left with a shoulder injury before the All-Star break, and then apparently left the arena to get an MRI. So he's completely checked out. But which to me tells you something. It tells you a little bit about his character. It's something that if you want to knock him for not having that killer instinct, if you want to knock him for not loving basketball or not being professional, then you have every right to knock him for that, because you're getting paid to play. I don't care what the situation is. You're not going to be on the team past this year anyway. Just go out there, do what you can do to try to help the team get to the playoffs, or if they can't get to the playoffs, just put up 30 and 13 and keep it moving. So it's been a bad job from everybody all around, whether it's from Anthony Davis, Rich Paul, the Pelican organization, ownership, everybody dropped the ball in terms of the situation. And certainly it has been a black eye and frankly an embarrassment to the NBA going to the All-Star break, having, you know, dealing with this situation in New Orleans with Anthony Davis. So I don't, again, nothing's been official, but to me, it'd be in his best interest and in the best interest of the organization if he didn't play another minute for the rest of the season. This is the Real Deal Podcast. Surreal Gerald Quinn taking you on this Monday, President's Day. This is considered to be one of the dead times in sports. Post-football, NCAA tournament hasn't started yet, though. You'll start to see some of the big games, some of the rivalry games coming up this week. You have UNC Duke on Wednesday, which is always a fun, which is always a fun game. Always the, by far and away, the best rivalry in college football and college basketball. I think the best rivalry in all of college sports when those two get together, and they're both good this year, so they'll add more juice. They're both top 10 teams. Duke is considered a favorite. North Carolina's a legit top Final Four caliber team, as we know. So you have that Wednesday tonight as we speak. Virginia Tech. So you have some excitement with college basketball, but we know college basketball does not get started really until March. They'll have their month. They will have their month to dominate the headlines, but that is still a couple of weeks off. Of course, Friday you had the settlement with the NFL and Colin Kaepernick and also Eric Reid. Now, no one knows how much money either one of those guys got, especially in particular Colin Kaepernick. But the bottom line is there was no provision or nothing in that settlement that says Colin Kaepernick cannot try to get back into the league. Now, if I'm Colin Kaepernick, I beat the NFL from the standpoint as the NFL doesn't like to settle or pay out anyone. Okay? The NFL is that stubborn, they're that arrogant, and there was no way at the beginning of this process that I thought Colin Kaepernick would have a chance to win a settlement or get paid from the NFL. So from that standpoint, he won. What the number is, I don't know. Who knows? Is this 20, 30, 40, 50 million? Who knows what the number is? If I'm Colin, you know, and if I'm Colin Kaepernick, I would stay as far away from the NFL as possible as far as trying to play again. There's no way in the world, no way on God's green earth that anybody is going to sign Colin Kaepernick. I don't care what his agent says. I don't care. His agent, you know, is giving up, you know, giving prospective teams like the Panthers or Patriots or whoever. It's not going to happen. It's just not. It's not going to happen. They would. I mean, they, you know, he didn't get signed, especially now that he's been paid off. And again, those of you calling Colin Kaepernick a sellout, you are absolutely clueless. At a certain point, listen. They have taken money from him by colluding against him. They've taken food, taken money off his out of his bank account. So 2 years that, you know, he hadn't played since the 2016 season. He's missed a couple of years, at least 2 years of service. That's anywhere from where he was at in terms of the quarterback pecking order. That's anywhere from 35 to $40 million they've taken away from him. So if they're going to offer him in a settlement anywhere from 30 to 40 to $50 million, he has every right to take it, and he should have taken it. You know, he's done his part as far as, you know, kneeling. He sacrificed tens of millions of dollars. So I have no problem with him taking the money. But now, at this point in the process, I think it's time for him to completely walk away from the NFL, go in a different direction. He's still getting some money from Nike, undisclosed amount. So it's not like he's, you know, not like he's going to starve. Okay. He can name his price as far as paid appearances, paid speaking engagements. So I think Colin Kaepernick's purpose is much bigger than playing on the football field. He still wants to play. But if you're Colin Kaepernick, if I'm Colin Kaepernick, I'm not even thinking about playing again. And the bottom line is, he's never going to play again in the NFL. No NFL team is going to go anywhere near Colin Kaepernick. It's just not going to happen. These NFL owners are stubborn. These NFL owners have no pressure. They have no pressure from fans to sign him. There are probably more fans who were pissed off about what Kaepernick did and taking a knee than there are people who are actually support him. So if I'm Kaepernick, just walk away with your money. You beat the NFL, and you go about making a difference. And go out there again. His purpose is much bigger than playing on the football field. And again, that would be the story of the decade if a team actually went out on a limb and signed Colin Kaepernick. I don't see it happening. I just don't. And I'm not me being a pessimist or being negative. It's just something. Again, the NFL is as arrogant and stubborn of a league, you know, that there is in sports, and they have no reason. These teams have no reason to sign him. None at all. They'd rather go draft a quarterback. They'd rather go find another middle of the pack journeyman quarterback, or Case Keenum, than go out there and deal with any backlash that they would deal with by signing Colin Kaepernick. Like, they don't see his skill set as being worth what they might have to deal with in terms of public backlash and what have you, if they were to sign him. So again, it's a big deal that he beat the NFL. We knew from the beginning that it was clearly collusion. I mean, that went without saying. That was clearly collusion. I'm happy that he beat the NFL. I'm happy that he got he's getting paid. He deserves the money. Who knows what the number is? He deserves, you know, anywhere from $30 to $40 million. So we'll see what happens with that moving forward. He still wants to play. If I'm him, I'm completely walking away. But we'll see what happens with that. Came out also this weekend, Tekashi 6ix9ine apparently is, you know, has talked so much that he probably is going to do minimum jail time. Now he's going to do some jail time. He's not walking away scot-free. It's too many charges, too many stuff that he was involved with. But apparently he's talked enough to where he's probably going to get witness protection and probably get a minimum sentence moving forward. Now this case is still ongoing. A lot still has to be determined, but the bottom line is he's in a tough spot because if he just tells everything, right, gets full witness protection program, his career as an artist is over. Like, where is he going to perform? What is he going to do to make money? Mind you, he has a ton of lawyer fees that he's going to have to pay. He's not making it again in his album sales. He hasn't been working since. When did he go in? I think he went in what, November? So he hasn't been able to earn money from concerts and touring and things of that nature. He has no, again, but you know, he's almost like, this is like, there's no way out for him. He almost had to take a deal because let's say he doesn't take a deal, then he does anywhere from, you know, 47 years, 50 years in jail, and you know, his family, the just safety of his family was in jeopardy. So he's almost at a point to where he had to talk. Those of you, anybody that's calling him a snitch, just, you know, has never had the feds lean on them. I think I have no problem with him talking to the feds, talking to the, because he has no other choice in the matter. He, again, even under witness protection, he still has a wonder about walk. He still has a wonder as he live his life, wondering if somebody's going to kill him, or somebody's out there trying to kill him, or if his family's being protected. Yeah, I mean, when you really think about it, he has no other choice but to talk. So I don't see how you can knock him for talking. You can call him a snitch if he want. If I was in his position, I'd be singing like a canary. Because again, he does not have the resources to fight the case. He does not have the resources to even probably pay his lawyers if this thing got stretched out over the course of months and years. He has to settle with the government, settle with the feds, like right now. Like, he has no other choice. So I think he'll probably do anywhere from five. You know, who knows? I mean, who knows how much he'll do? You know, probably it'll be a light sentence along with some witness protection, in that witness protection program, and you know, safety for his family and his daughter, his wife, his girlfriend, daughter, mother, whoever that's close to him. But you look at the situation he's in, I just think he had no other choice but to make that move. And I don't see how anybody can knock him for singing like a canary. He had no other choice. A couple things come out as far as the baseball goes with Harper and Machado. Again, I'm not knocking anyone who doesn't give Manny Machado or Bryce Harper $300 or $400 million. A lot of people around baseball are ticked off about free agents being signed late. How many times in the early 2000s did we knock, or in the mid-90s, were we knocking teams for signing guys to these ridiculous contracts? Now teams have gotten smart. They're developing young talent. They don't want to pay these outlandish contracts. Now that's a problem. I just give organizations a lot of credit. And again, Machado's still going to get his money. Harper, I still think Harper's going to get $300 million. You have the Padres interested in Machado for about $250 million. Some of it possibly could be deferred money as well. I can't knock those franchises. I can't knock franchises for not giving out ridiculous contracts. Harper, there are reports at Washington that the Nationals are still in the mix for Harper, though the Phillies seem to be like the leader in the clubhouse when it comes to signing Harper. We know how much money the Phillies have in terms of they don't have a lot of money on their books. They specifically cleared their books preparing for the summer, for the winter of 2019. So they have all the money in the world to sign Harper and Machado and Eduardo Machado. The Padres have a ton of money to sign Machado. They also have a number of prospects. So I'm not knocking the Padres for signing Machado, because at some point you got to try to win baseball games. So the Padres can absolutely afford to sign him, and they still have their prospects. They still have a top farm system around in baseball to build around him. And again, he's 26, 27 years old. 27 years old. That is a perfect age to build around a guy. You have a guy that's going to put, but that's going to not only produce on the field. He's going to put people in the seats. He's going to be box office. You have young players that can learn from him. So I don't see how anybody can knock the Padres for going out there and getting a Manny Machado. It's not like they're paying for a 30-year-old guy. Not like it'll be different than paying for somebody like Albert Pujols a few years back when he would give him a ridiculous contract that the Angels gave him, considering how old he was. He was over 30. That was a bad contract. And the Angels are going to pay for that contract moving forward, because Pujols is at the end of, towards the end of his career. Giving Manny Machado 8 years, $250 million to me is perfect. He's young enough. He's one of the best players in all of baseball. You can build around Manny Machado. You can build around Bryce Harper for that matter. But I can't knock these franchises for not giving either one of those guys $350 to $400 million. Some of the numbers that were being tossed around a couple years back when people were looking ahead to their free agency. I don't blame them at all. And I don't blame teams for not overpaying for guys who don't deserve the money and not getting locked into these bad contracts when you have as much young talent coming out of these farm systems as there's ever been in baseball, as much young talent around the game of baseball as there ever been in the last 10 to 15 years. So teams have gotten smarter, and they've gone, listen, those days of Alex Rodriguez, Giancarlo Stanton, those contracts, those days are done in baseball. Those days are done, because you don't build your team around one guy making $30 or $40 million. That's not how you build a winning team, a winning organization. So I expect Machado and Harper's deals will be signed in the next week or so. It could happen this week. I don't expect it to go into spring training. I know pitchers and catchers have reported. I don't expect it to go into spring training. I expect these deals will be wrapped up sooner than later. That's going to wrap it up for this latest edition of the Real Deal Podcast. As always, this is Surreal Gerald Quinn, the Real Deal Podcast, telling it like it is, with no apologies. Thanks for listening.